Virajitena,
Virajitena,
Yogena,
Yogena,
Drityudyama,
Drityudyama,
Sattva,
Sattva,
Yutto,
Yutto,
Lingam,
Lingam,
Vyapohet,
Vyapohet,
Kushalo,
Kham,
Akhyam,
Akhyam,
Sadavatra Madhava Vichakshanena, Yanena Vijnana Virajitena,
Yanena Vijnana Virajitena,
Yogena Drityudyama Sattva Yukto,
Yogena Drityudyama Sattva Yukto,
Lingam Vyapohet Kushalohamakyam,
Lingam Vyapohet Kushalohamakyam,
Sarvatra Madhava Vichakshanena,
Sarvatra
Jnanena Vijnana Virajitena,
Jnanena Vijnana Virajitena,
Yogena Drityudyama Sattva Yukto,
Yogena Drityudyama Sattva Yukto,
Lingam Vyapohet Kushalohamakyam,
Lingam Vyapohet Kushalohamakyam,
Yada, when, mana, the mind, hridaya granti, the knot in the heart, asya, of this person, karma anubhandha, bound by the results of his past deeds, drida, very strong, ashta, Ashlateta, become slackened. Tada, at that time. Jnana, the conditioned soul. Samparivartate, turns away. Asmat, from his attachment for sex life. Mukta, liberated. Param, to the transcendental world. Yati, goes. Atihaya, giving up. Hetum, the original cause. Translation. When the strong knot in the heart of a person implicated in material life due to the results of past actions is slackened, one turns away from his attachment to home, wife, and children. In this way, one gives up the basic principle of illusion, I and mine, and becomes liberated. Thus one goes to the transcendental world. Purport. When, by associating with sadhus and engaging in devotional service, one is gradually freed from the material conception due to knowledge, practice, and detachment, the knot of attachment in the heart is slackened. Thus one can get freed from the conditional life and become eligible to return home back to Godhead. Texts 10 through 13. Translation. O my sons, you should accept a highly elevated Paramahamsa, a spiritually advanced spiritual master. In this way, you should place your faith and love in me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You should detest sense gratification and tolerate the duality of pleasure and pain, which are like the seasonal changes of summer and winter. Try to realize the miserable condition of living entities, who are miserable even in the higher planetary systems. Philosophically inquire about the truth, then undergo all kinds of austerities and penances for the sake of devotional service. Give up the endeavor for sense enjoyment and engage in the service of the Lord. Listen to the discussions about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and always associate with devotees. Chant about and glorify the Supreme Lord and look upon everyone equally on the spiritual platform. Give up enmity and subdue anger and lamentation. Abandon identifying the self with the body and the home, and practice reading the revealed scriptures. Live in a secluded place and practice the process by which you can completely control your life, air, mind, and senses. Have full faith in the revealed scriptures, the Vedic literatures, and always observe celibacy. Perform your prescribed duties and avoid unnecessary talks. Always thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, acquire knowledge from the right source. Thus, practicing bhakti yoga, you will patiently and enthusiastically be elevated in knowledge and will be able to give up the false ego. Purport. In these four verses, Rishabdev tells his sons how they can be freed from the false identification arising from false ego and material conditional life. One gradually becomes liberated by practicing as mentioned above. All these prescribed methods enable one to give up the material body, lingam vyapohet, and be situated in his original spiritual body. First of all, one has to accept the bona fide spiritual master. This is advocated by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Sri Guru Parashraya. To be freed from the entanglement of the material world, one has to approach a spiritual master. Tad vijnanartham sagurum ivabhigacchet. By questioning the spiritual master and by serving him, one can advance in spiritual life. When one engages in devotional service, naturally the attraction for personal comfort, for eating, sleeping, and dressing is reduced. By associating with the devotee, a spiritual standard is maintained. The word Maddeva Sangat is very important. There are many so-called religions devoted to the worship of various demigods. But here, good association means association with one who simply accepts Krishna as a worshipable deity. So, Rishabdev here then, in discussing with the son, then has pointed out how material life is not very useful and how that one should give this up for spiritual understanding, because that being the natural position of the living entity. So then Here he's pointing out, if you want to be successful at this, the first thing is one has to approach the bona fide spiritual master. Very essential point. Why so essential? Because the problem is material life, its basis is illusion. We have a perception on the world based on how we view it through our intelligence and the mind. Excuse me. Now, that will, but problem is the intelligence and mind is material. So our perspective of the world will always be material. It doesn't matter what one's position is. One's very intelligent, one's not. One's very cultured, one's not. One's very pious, one's not. The perspective will always be material. And as Rishabh is pointing out, that even on the higher planets, people are suffering. Material world means suffering, right? We have an idea if someone's in a higher position, they suffer less. Means they may not suffer, the sufferings that they experience are not caused by the same things that cause it for us, right? Whatever platform we're on, there's a cause of our suffering. So someone on a more elevated material platform doesn't, the cause of their suffering is not the ones that causes ours. Does that make sense? But the suffering will remain. There's not any less suffering on the higher planets than there is on the lower. It's just what causes it is different, right? The cause of it is more subtle or more refined or more in the mode of goodness. But the suffering remains the same. It doesn't change, right? The person without a car, he thinks that he suffers, and he thinks if I had a car, I wouldn't suffer. So therefore, all the people with cars aren't suffering what I'm suffering. No, they're not. They don't have the cause of suffering from not having a car, but they have a car, and that is the cause of their suffering. You understand? So his Rishabh's point is that the material world is not a place to be happy. You can't be happy here. The only happiness is actually in the association of devotees. Right? So now to understand that, one has to have the spiritual master. Because the spiritual master then gives the perspective that is not from the material world. Right? That's very important. That how we perceive things is based on the perception of the spiritual world. Right? We apply it into our individual situations, but it has to begin from the spiritual world, because otherwise the material mind and material intelligence will never figure it out. It's not that, well, if I work hard enough, I'll figure it out. No, it cannot be figured out. It's only by the Lord's grace. So by following the order of the spiritual master, Krishna is pleased. By Krishna being pleased, then one understands. That's the whole secret. Very simple. So that's why this is then the first point, is that by associating with the spiritual master, by associating with advanced devotees, right, then one will be able to take up this new perception. Right? Because that's what spiritual life is about, is perceiving everything in connection with Krishna. That's what makes it special. Otherwise, the material, one may have a more refined or more intelligent, more logical, more practical, social, so many, whatever are the important things of this world. One may have that. One may change those at any time. Someone doesn't have money, then he becomes serious, he gets money, he becomes successful, but then in doing that, he forgets about the different interactions with the different people. Then he gets into the interactions with people, doesn't worry about his money. And, you know, whichever side you take, you will suffer. Does that make sense? It's going to be that way. So until one starts to see things in relationship with Krishna, then that suffering is going to be there. There's no such thing as someone has different facilities than I have, they're not suffering. It doesn't exist. It means it is Maya's trick. You know, that's why everybody thinks like that. That's why the Shastras say, don't worry what the crowd thinks, because Maya knows how to work the crowd, right? She can get the crowd going, right? So that's the problem. And then the crowd then says, yes, but it's illusion still, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, continuing. Another important item is dvandva titiksha. As long as one is situated in the material world, there must be pleasure and pain arising from the material body. As Krishna advises in Bhagavad Gita, tams tatikshasva bharata, one has to learn how to tolerate the temporary pains and pleasures of this material world. One must also be detached from the family and practice celibacy. Sex with one's wife, according to the scriptural injunctions, is also accepted as brahmacharya, celibacy. But illicit sex is opposed to religious principles, and it hampers advancement in spiritual consciousness. Another important word is vidyana virajita. Everything should be done very scientifically and consciously. One should be a realized soul. In this way, one can give up the entanglement of material bondage. So his next point here then is the tolerance of material pleasure and pain. So now, you know, naturally we might think, okay, I can understand the tolerating the pain, but why do I have to tolerate the pleasure? You know, why is that a problem? Problem comes is because when the material happiness comes up, we immediately take it that this is now the standard. This is the position of existence. Right? We don't take it that this is the nature of existence is dual. That there will be pleasure and there will be pain. How much pleasure is how much pain? Right? Those two go together. And how much pain is how much pleasure? Does that make sense? They go together. So, but when it's nice, then we take it, now this is the standard. But the point is, pleasure and pain aren't existence. Those are the experience of existence. Does that make sense? So if the existence is spiritual, then the pleasure and pain will be spiritual. But if the existence is material, then the experience of that, the pleasure and pain, will be material. So one must tolerate it. It means, in other words, it's not a problem that they come up, right? See, we take it that there's a problem if pain comes. But it's not a problem if pleasure comes, right? Or if I look at it, no, I have to tolerate the pain, then we take it, there should be no pleasure. But it's not going to work like that. They go together. They're a pair, right? They're two aspects of the same thing, like that. I just learned, I think it was yesterday, maybe the day before, the term Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur uses of moiti. It means two parts of one thing. Like he always refers to Radha and Krishna as the predominated moiti and the predominated moiti. Right, predominator and predominating. No, predominating and predominated. Okay, there we got it. You understand? Two parts of one thing that can't be divided. I mean, can't be, that they go together. So the point is the experience of the material world has these two parts, the pleasure moiety and the pain moiety. They go together. So just as pain is to be tolerated, to pleasure. So what does that mean? That means it's not a problem that pleasure is there. It's a problem if we take it that now this is what existence should mean. We understand? That's the difficulty, right? Prasad's nice. Oh, don't enjoy it. You know, that's material. No, the point is pleasure comes. But the point is now to take pleasure as your standard, then you'll always suffer, right? Because if you accept suffering as there, it's not a problem. Does that make sense? How is somebody expert in a field? I mean expert where they're comfortable. Not meaning that they have the skill, but they're actually comfortable in the field. What makes the difference between them and somebody else who might have the same knowledge or doesn't have the same knowledge? If you check, the actual point is that they are willing to tolerate the difficulties that come along with that skill. Right? Like I remember once I was talking with one of the senior devotees, and I made some comment about, oh, okay, another meeting, like that, you know, because it was kind of like, you know, the meetings were a bit boring at that time. And he just looked at me and said, no, but if you're a manager, meetings go along with management. So even though you may not like them, it's just part of what you do, so there's no use in being upset about, oh, it's going to be bad. Does that make sense? His point was, is it goes with it. You only suffer, really, when you don't accept the bad. Does that make sense? If it's just part of what it is, then it's not a problem. Like, let's say, another devotee was telling me he went to, he was in Italy. And they drove up, they were driving along on the, you know, on the highway, and they came to a toll station, right? So they stopped. Now, you know, American is you have your change there, you have the thing, you know, it's all right there, so within nanoseconds you can get through that place, you know, and if it's any more than a few nanoseconds, you know, you've totally failed, right? That's the American viewpoint. So, that, you know, and who I'm talking about, he was American, but he was with Italians, right? So they come up to the place, the guy looks in his pocket, says, no change, right? So he gets out of the car, goes to the, you know, the boot, opens it to get his bag, which has in it his, you know, wallet that has the money in it. So the American devotee is freaking out, you know, like this is, you know, way beyond, you know, the nanoseconds here. And then he's thinking, no, the people are going to be upset. This, he turns around and looks back in the line. And the cars behind him, everybody's just sitting, talking, waving their arms in the air, you know, doing whatever, the, you know, being very Italian. And nobody cared. And it was like, oh. You understand? So what's happening here? He's suffering because he's not accepting the problem that comes up with, you know, that you have to get your money together. But the Italians, they were cool. You know, it's just that's the way life is. You know, you always leave your wallet in the boot, right? Doesn't everybody do that? You know? You know, so does that make sense? So if you accept it, it doesn't bother you. So that means you won't be distracted by the pain, means you won't be distracted by the pleasure. So in other words, if you bother by the pain, means you are distracted by the pleasure. So that's why the two go together. They have to be tolerated. Right? So it doesn't mean they go away. It just means they don't bother, they don't distract you from Krishna consciousness. Right? Yeah, so then, in this, then it's a matter of why are we doing things? We're doing things because of its nature. That's how it's supposed to be done. Right? It means we have to perform activities, so those activities then have forms through which they have to be executed. So in the execution of one's duty, one is not distracted. One does one's duty. Right? But it doesn't mean that one is distracted by it. So therefore, then Rishabh Dev is giving the point is that therefore, in family life, one has the facilities. But one's not distracted by it. One is engaging in the facility with the facilities according to the religious principles. Right? What is recommended? Does that make sense? And so in the recommendation, then there are levels. This is also very important, is that Krishna consciousness means a progression. Right? We're talking Shraddha to Prema. So we're talking 9 levels here to get to Prema. So it's a progression. So any one of them is good if it's recommended. But there's always better. Right? Just like, let's say you only deal with your house. Right? You don't bother your neighbor's house. So then that's good, right? You focused on that, you know, you've come to the point where, you know, it's, you're happy with your house, not that you want every house in the block, or you want, you know, the whole world, or the world's not enough, or, you know, like this. It's a matter of, it works. So you're dealing with your house. So that's the first step. Now, better than that is now you're dealing with your house in a Krishna conscious way. Right? And then that Krishna conscious way is recommended by scripture. Does that make sense? So there's levels. So in the same way here, then he also mentions dealing with the wife, dealing with the children, all these things they have. You're dealing with your own family. Right? You don't bother with someone else's family. Right? You know what I'm saying? What is prajalpa? Prajalpa is you got an opinion about everybody else's family. Think about it. Gossip means someone else, right? You're not gossiping about yourself. Oh, did you hear? You know that? You know, I was seen doing this, you know, like that, and you know, who am I to be doing that? And you know, like, right? Isn't that how gossip goes? Right? No, it's about someone else, right? So the point is why is it not? Because you have your own family, you have your own problems, right? Worry about that. You know, you want to judge something, then work that out, right? You got plenty to work with there. Does that make sense? So that's how it's working here. So that's why then it's mentioned that if one is connected with one's own wife and the interactions there, that is celibacy, right? According to the scriptures. But if it's with one's own wife, not recommended by scriptures, but still, it's better that it's your wife, not someone else's wife. Right? Because even someone else's wife, according to scripture, is still not good. Right? You understand? So that's what we're trying to do here. So celibacy means that. So then how celibate? Like that. But at least it's focused. Then it will develop. Does that make sense? So that's the principle in all these, is that one has to be able to see the broader picture of it. Right? Not that it's, oh, it's all this or it's all that. No, these extremes, where do extremes come from? Why do we like extremes? Pleasure, pain, right? Attachment, envy, I and mine, right? We catch the drift here, right? In other words, the mundane duality is why we like extremes, right? And the farther you push the duality, the greater the intensity of the experience, right? More pleasure, more pain, right? Does that make sense? They go together. So the tendency is to do that. So the Vedic is reduce it down to a more neutral, though you're dealing with everything and these all the dualities will be there, but it doesn't disturb you because you want to switch this to the spiritual world. Right? The principle is always good. Right? Whatever it is, the various kinds of family interaction, that's fine. It goes on in the spiritual world, but in the spiritual world it's without any mundane considerations. Well, in the material world, there's always a mundane consideration. So it doesn't have that glory. If the principle of it is glorious, but its application in the material world will always be something short of perfect. Right? So we're trying to reduce this, you know, become aware of what's here so that we can become focused on what's there. Right? Because if you can't become aware of what is your situation, how can you change your situation? Right? If you're driving down the road in the wrong direction and you're not aware of it, can you fix it? No, it's only when you become aware I'm driving in the wrong direction. Then you can fix it. So unless you're aware of material life, you can't fix it and become therefore focused on spiritual life. Right? Does that make sense? As Sri Madhavacharya points out, the sum and substance of these four shlokas is that one should refrain from acting out of a desire for sense gratification and should instead always engage in the Lord's loving service. In other words, bhakti yoga is the acknowledged path of liberation. Sri Madhavacharya quotes from the Adhyatma, Atmano vihitam karmo varjayit vanya karmana kamasya cha parityago Niri hate yahur uttama. One should perform activities only for the benefit of the soul. any other activity should be given up. Right? Does that make sense? So in other words, the consciousness, it's taken as the expression of the consciousness is an activity. Right? But we're not talking here about the mechanics of the activity. We're talking about why the activity goes on. Right? I mean, just like this. Why does one make an endeavor for food? What would be the reason? Because you're hungry. You understand? So is the problem the hunger, or is the problem the endeavor for food? You understand? Because the endeavor for food, you could be endeavoring for food for someone else's hunger. Right? So therefore, the endeavor for food is not really the consideration. The consideration is the hunger. Right? Does that make sense? So in other words, the activity, the mechanics or the form of the activity isn't really what we're talking about. What we're talking about is why you're doing that activity. Right? If you're material, then in other words, if you're spiritual material, you're going to basically do the same activities. Right? Does that make sense? Bodies to be maintained, a place to keep it. You know, you interact with people. That will remain. So what changes is the consciousness. So always understand that it all goes together. Otherwise, we tend to take activity as simply the form, not the consciousness. That was Arjuna's first mistake in the beginning of the Gita. That's how the Gita opens. Right? In other words, the philosophy that we have begins with this point. For most everybody else, all other religionists of the world, this is where they end. Change the external form of what I do, and then now I'm religious. Does that make sense? But no. Arjuna is saying, okay, I'm a Kshatriya, I'm fighting here, so I change that, I'll be a Brahmin, go out and beg. Krishna said, no, you missed the point. It's not the activity, it's the consciousness. So to understand the consciousness, then there's the soul. That's why people who don't understand the soul actually don't have knowledge. Right? They may be very intelligent. They have a lot of facility to work with and intelligence, but not. They don't really get much out of it. So, therefore, change the consciousness, you change the nature of the activity. Because when we say fruit of activity, it means the consciousness is fruitive, not that the activity is. You understand? You perform a yajna, but it's fruitive. You're doing it to elevate yourself to the heavenly planets. That's a problem. The devotees do yajna, but it's to please Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then, one should... Okay. When a person is situated in this way, he's said to be desireless. Actually, a living entity cannot be totally desireless, but when he desires the benefit of the soul and nothing else, he is said to be desireless. Right? So when it's about the soul, that's desireless. Right? Because then it's if you're working for what is good for the soul in elevating themselves, that's called desireless. Now, perfection of desirelessness is then it's being a desire to please Krishna. Does that make sense? Now, in actuality, it's very hard to do one with the other. I mean, the Mayavadis, you know, they make a good endeavor at it. Try to only do something for the soul, but leave God out of it. But it's very, very tough. Right? Like just imagine. Let's say you're supposed to go into the kitchen and cook. Right? Okay, now I say, okay, I'll go cook. So what am I cooking for? Oh, don't worry about that. Who am I cooking for? Oh, no, that's not important either. How many people am I cooking for? No, that's not a question either. When do I have to have it ready by? No, we're not discussing that. Is this going to be easy? Right? So that's the whole point, is that when it's personal, it makes it very easy. So when it's about God as a person, it becomes very easy. Okay. Spiritual knowledge is jnana vijnana samanvitam. When one is fully equipped with jnana and vijnana, he is perfect. Jnana means that one understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, to be the Supreme Being. Vijnana refers to the activities that liberate one from the ignorance of material existence. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.31, Jnanam param guhyam me tat vijnanam samanvitam. Knowledge of the Supreme Lord is very confidential, and the Supreme knowledge is by which one understands Him further. And the Supreme knowledge by which one understands Him furthers the liberation of all living entities. This knowledge is vijnana. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 4.9, janma karma chame divyam evam yo vedi tattvata chaktva deham punar janma naitimam eti sorjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in his material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. So knowing Krishna, this is knowledge. But knowing how to relate to Him, how to connect ourselves with Him, that is vijnana. Right? So in other words, devotees know the Lord, but they also know how to engage in service to the Lord through the spiritual master. That creates a relationship. Therefore the spiritual master, the relationship. Right? We should be very careful and not look at the spiritual master as, you know, okay, just as only as authority or as a particular position, or worry about the individual involved in it. Get distracted by that. It's a matter of the spiritual master means a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the essential point. Right? In that light, then you view whatever else you want to look at. Right? Does this make sense? So now it's being pointed out here, Madhvacharya has pointed out, is that it's about everything being connected to the Lord based on the platform that we understand our position as the soul and servant of God. When that's done, we know the Lord, but we know who we are and our relationship with the Lord, then that becomes vijnana. So that's what we're trying to do. And then Prabhupada points out, here is therefore one who knows this, he doesn't take birth in the material world again. Right? Because there's no need. You take birth here because the duality here is important. But if it's about relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world, there's no need to take birth here again. Any questions or comments? Yes. Shruti Mike. Yeah, Shruti Mike. Never mind. Just now coming. See, that's the parampara. It comes down from the mic man down to the... Yes.
Rishabhadeva gave, like, I would say, complete instructions to his sons.
I think you have to somehow or another, it's not coming clear.
The sound? Yeah. Okay. Lord Vishwamhadeva gave, I would say, complete instructions to his sons on the process of direct and also indirect. But for persons who are following direct process only, then it might seem a little more extreme, isn't it?
Extreme. I mean, what aspect you are saying more extreme?
They don't have to consider the indirect process. So
they don't have to consider. I mean, so when we say direct and indirect, the point is the indirect means it will come in contact with the Lord. That's the direct aspect. Indirect means you have to go through a few steps to get it there. Right? Direct means like I'm chanting the holy name, but the name is Krishna, it's direct. But I still have to make that connection, right? But let's say I'm working at a job, right, in some office. So then I have to take it, working at the job gives the money then can be used in Krishna's service. I have to take some extra steps here, right? Right? So, in other words, The direct is there in the indirect is in the direct. The two you can't separate, though they are different. Like Krishna's energies, you can't separate. It means they're not different, but they're different. Does that make sense? So it's, what is the predominance? So direct means that's the predominance. It's not that the brahmachari is there and he has his little yoga mat to sleep on at night and he's finding it and putting it down on the floor. That's still, that's indirect activity. Right? Because the point is he could be sleeping for himself or sleeping for Krishna. Right? So the point is that gets connected. What we're saying is the lifestyle of direct, you know, your brahmachari, vanaprastha, sannyas, means it's predominantly direct, but it's not, the indirect's not there. So the same principle applies. Just like, let's say for the neophyte, then the element of pure devotional service and the lack of karma and jnana, in principle, is just the same as someone on the platform of bhava. Okay? But in detail, then the neophyte, there's much more observable gross elements of karma and jnana that have to be removed. While on the platform of bhava, it's very subtle. The concept, I'm a great devotee and I'm advanced. Right? And I'm the, spiritual master, guru of devotees. Now that's very subtle, but that's the same principle of I and mine. Does that make sense? So the principle is always the same, it's just a matter of volume. So when volume is more, it's called indirect. Right? When volume is less, it's called direct. Is that okay? But the principle applies. So you're going to apply something wherever it has the fullest context. Otherwise, then you could say, well, it doesn't apply to me. Right? So that's why the Shastra uses specific stories. They could use any story. You know, the lady is down at the corner there, and, you know, her husband's a carpenter, you know, and the things that go on in their life. You could use that as an example in the Shastra. But the problem is then the businessman will say, well, it doesn't apply to me. The king will say it doesn't apply to me. The Brahmin will say it doesn't apply to me. Right? Does that make sense? So when we're talking about detachment or tolerance, then generally they use the Brahmin. Right? If they're talking about facility, they use the Kshatriya. Right? Because who has more facility than a Kshatriya? And especially you see the stories there, the Kshatriya, who's the emperor of the world. Because then no one can say, this doesn't apply to me. Right? He owns a full building down in Manhattan. But it's only one building. There's thousands of them. Tens of thousands. And that's on one little island. This guy is emperor of the world. So it applies. Does that make sense? So that's why the more extreme examples are always used. Because then no one can say, I'm not part of this. Right? Is that okay? Yes. Yes.
It's two sides of the same thing. Like sukha and dukkha, happiness and distress. Reality is just one. Or like you were saying, things cannot be separated. Like musk and his smell, they're one. So this all creates this duality, but actually is oneness. So the same, the super soul and the soul, Shaktiman and his Shakti, there's a oneness there. That we take it as duality. That's why we are separated.
See, one has to see the both at simultaneously. See, the Shastra will mention oneness of the Lord, and they'll mention the difference. Right? So therefore you get the personal, you get the impersonal. So both perspectives are valid. So by having, understanding both perspectives, that will elevate you to the spiritual world. Now how you understand the perspective of the oneness and difference, That's what will situate you within the spiritual world, right? Sometimes it's considered that, oh, it doesn't really matter. As long as it's Vaishnav, then it's okay. Yes, it will get you out of the material world into the spiritual world. But where in the spiritual world, that depends upon how you view the oneness and the difference. Does that make sense? So basically, if you're looking at predominantly oneness or difference, you know, on its own, but within the Vaishnava context, that will get you into Vaikuntha, right? Because then you're seeing the oneness of the mood or the difference between the Lord and yourself as servant. That will get you into Vaikuntha. If you can combine them, that you can see there's one and there's all, you could also look at it as different. That will get you into Goloka. But it won't get you into Braj. Braj means you have to be able to see both the oneness and the difference simultaneously. Not it's this or that. Means at the same time they can both go on. That's Braj. That is this or it's one or it's different. That's everywhere else. That's Mathura, that's Dwarka. But if you can see one and different simultaneously, that you don't have a problem that Krishna is God, knows everything. At the same time, he puts himself under his yoga maya and doesn't know anything. You can accommodate that? That's Braj. So that's why there's more to it than just the sentiment. There's the ability to accommodate that. Just like one may say, no, but the gopis, they're not scholars, so they don't worry about this. No, they don't worry about it. They just naturally live it. Krishna, he's behaving, you know, in a, how you say, mischievous way, right? Boys on their own like just doing whatever they like. Problem is when they're around girls, you have to do what the girls like. So there's always that thing of just trying to get in something of just what you like. There's always that attempt, right? Of course, it never works like that, though, you know, every man thinks it will, but it just won't like that. Women are too clever and too observant to, in other words, if it works, it's because they let it go like that. There's no such thing as they didn't notice it, right? So then he makes some, you know, he behaves in a way that's not ideal for interacting with girls, you know, just being boyish, you know. And so then they comment how he actually doesn't know how to deal with girls. Right? And the example they give is, as Ramachandra, you cut off Suparnika's nose. She was a girl, she had interest in you, and instead of dealing with it, you cut off her nose. So this means you're insensitive to girls' feelings. Okay? Now, what just happened there? Because we hear this, it's, wow, it's a nice, great interaction. But did we just catch what happened there? The gopis don't see any difference between Krishna and Ramachandra. It's the same person. But their taste is dealing with them in Braj, not in Ayodhya. But it's the same person. Now, that's the oneness and difference. So for them, it's just the lifestyle. Very, very significant. You know, so that means they know he's God, but at the same time they don't care. Because the love is so much, it doesn't matter. You know, just like the mother, her son grows up and he becomes, let's say, the president of the country. But as far as her relationship with her son, it really doesn't matter. Of course, when they're sitting, you know, in public and that, she stands where she's supposed to stand, follows all the decorum. But as soon as they get back into the, you know, the inner chambers of the house and the doors are closed and it's just him and her, he's just the son and she's the mother. And him being the president really doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? He's working too hard. You know, he's not taking care of his health. You know, he's got to take a stand on this and not be just pushed around because everybody's telling, right? Isn't that what's happening? Yeah, because it's like, in other words, they know, but it just really doesn't matter. That's Achinta Beda Beda Tattva. That's Braj. So it's very significant that one is able to balance the oneness and the difference, because they both are correct. Krishna is everything, but at the same time he says he's different from it all. So he's one in with everything, and at the same time he's different. We're not different from him, but at the same time we're different. If we're not non-different, how can we relate? But you can only express that relationship if you're different. So you have to have both. You understand? So that's the significance. Okay. Anything else? Or okay. Yes.
That's exactly what Krishna likes.
Yes. 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 Thank you. Yeah, back here. The mic back this side.
You mentioned that we have to always associate with advanced devotees.
Yes.
And can you explain between advanced devotees and senior devotees, please?
Advanced devotees and senior devotees.
Yes.
So, I mean, how are you using the words? Because you can do a lot of things. Senior can just be, you know, they've been around longer than you, can be senior. Senior can be the year, you know, 50 or above. Senior can mean that, you know, you have some kind of Latin background. You know. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of meanings here. See, it's like this. It's simple. If we consider that we're not very advanced, that means everybody else is an advanced devotee. You understand? And now, from amongst those advanced devotees, because there's a whole crowd of them, then those ones that we feel comfortable with, that how they deal and interact has significance for the application of Krishna consciousness in my life. Does that make sense? And then that's your jati. Right? Because Rupa Goswami says swajati. Means you associate closely with those of similar nature. So similar nature means what they're doing in Krishna consciousness, you can see the application in your life. Right? So that depends upon your vision of how you see things. So you can have swajati, can be very different materially situated persons, or they may be very similar persons. You know, I've seen, you know, grihasthas and brahmacharis or sannyasis be best of friends. Or sometimes friends are just amongst the brahmacharis and brahmacharis or grihasthas and grihasthas. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a matter of how you see what is common that you can apply in your life. That's what you look for. Okay? So you don't have to worry about, you know, well, you know, is he more senior than him? Because he's actually older than him. But then this guy, he joined actually before him. So, like this and like that. You know, I'm saying don't worry about that. You just worry that everybody else is basically senior to yourself. So now you just find those you like associating with and can benefit from. Okay? Okay. We'll end here. No, it's time. 8:45. Sorry. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinanda ki, Jainatai Gaur Premanandi.
তখন দশরথ মাতা রাজি হয়ে গেছে।